Hey everybody, welcome to episode 6 of the Snapcast. I'm Bobby.
I'm Alex.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Chris.
So today we're going to be talking a little bit about getting ready for the pre-release. That will be coming up this coming weekend. So we're going to go over some of the archetypes that we're seeing develop already, just kind of based off of spoilers and how we think, you know, what strategies you should take for that pre-release. After the break, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about a new modern deck, a combo that's been popping up with some of the new cards. But all right, so let's talk about some pre-release stuff. Guys, you excited for pre-release?
Yeah, I'm excited, I guess.
You sound super excited.
I am. I mean, a little disappointed in the set overall, but I'm still going
to
play.
And it's always nice to get some new cards, but they're, like, in the end, I'm not just like blown away by them.
Yeah, the set started off real hot, and I don't know. The last few days, probably the last whole week of spoilers was pretty much bust. Like, nothing too exciting, nothing too crazy.
I don't know. The new art on Evolving Wilds is pretty good. I'm excited about that.
Right, yeah. Can't wait to play that one time in Limited. Yeah. That'd be great. Over, like, looking here, we've got a pretty good amount of archetypes already, though. They're starting to look like they're going to pop up. Now, you know, full disclosure, we haven't really playtested this set at all, so take all this with a grain of salt. But if you're unsure of what you're looking at going in, or you're unsure of how to build or construct your deck, these are definitely some ways you can look at doing that. So we're going to go over all of these, but right now we've got an Allies deck, an Eldrazi, like, ramp-style deck, an Elementals deck, and then a Landfall deck. So, Alex, you want to talk about the Allies deck a little bit?
Sure. The Allies are based around the mechanic Rally, which is when an ally itself or another ally enters, it gives the rest of your creatures an effect. So, for example, probably my favorite in Limited is the Fire Mantle Mage. It's the red ally that when it comes down, it gives all your creatures menace, making combat difficult, allows you to push through some damage there. But some of the big ones to also look at are Draenna, the vampire lord. The 3-drop, 2 black, and 1 for the 2/2 flyer whenever it is first strike as well. So whenever it attacks and deals damage, you put a +1/+1 counter on all your creatures. So first strike allows the counters to happen first if it deals damage before the rest of your creatures deal damage, potentially pumping there.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice because it looks like you're looking at what would typically be combat tricks, but instead of it being attached to an instance, attached to a body.
Right.
So you can complicate combat, you can make things harder for your opponent to block, and then also have an additional attacker next turn.
Yeah, I mean, and pretty much every mechanic is covered between allies. There's haste, first strike, lifelink, vigilance, indestructibles in there too, double strike. Like, just depending on which ones you can get, you can kind of assemble that way.
Looking at it, though, do you think we're going to get enough of, we'll say, 1, 2, or even 3 colors to have a efficient deck?
Evolving Wilds helps there, and it's limited, so you can get away with a little bit if, you, if you're feeling lucky.
I guess, like, in the limited play, it could work.
Yeah, and you can always limit yourself to 2 or 3 colors just by dropping, like, black or blue or whatever one you don't need is your weakest color. That's pool dependent. Like, when you get your pool, you look at it and you're like, oh, I can't run black or whatever. But I mean, that kind of goes with that.
Yeah, and definitely for anyone who's newer to pre-release or doesn't do it as often, like, you're not looking for, it's not going to be a standard deck, obviously. It's not going to be this, like, super synergistic, well-built deck. You're just looking for enough critical mass of these creatures to really benefit from the effects. Right. And then a good supporting cast of, like, burn or removal or, you know, whatever spells you have and the colors to go along with it. How many allies do you think would be, like, a minimum for this to be a good deck?
Well, because they don't specifically target just pumping allies, you can pump all your creatures or give all your creatures vigilance. So really just having the one that makes its trigger on its own is going to be value. But then if you have more to trigger multiple things, it's just all upside.
Nice. Yeah. So I would recommend, like, when you're looking at your pool, take out first, like, look for the ally cards that are good, even if you can't go with an ally deck. Ones that have effects, like Alex was saying, like haste or things like that, where you're like, all right, this would go well with the deck, even if it only fires off this one time.
Right.
And then you can kind of look at some of the more, like, I wish I would have looked at the ally cards a little bit more, but some of them are a little more lackluster. They don't do quite as much, but they might be worth it if they're re-triggering other cards.
One of the big ones of that, like, is like the Angelic Captain. It gets plus one. It's a flyer. When it attacks, it gets plus one for every other ally attacking.
Right.
That's one of the more narrow ones. Yeah.
So then you can kind of put those in another pile, and if you have enough altogether for this to look like it's a good allies deck overall, then you can go that route. Otherwise, just play, you know, the ones that are good on their own.
Right.
And I mean, that's kind of an asterisk next to all of these decks. There's things in them that are good in all decks. So if you don't have enough to go for the full archetype, definitely consider including those. Did you want to move on to the Eldrazi ramp?
Yeah, we can go on.
Okay, yeah. So I mean, a ramp deck is pretty straightforward. You're looking at big, fat, bomb-type creatures for limited, which, like, this set has plenty of.
Yep.
And some of them at an uncommon, so you'll probably see quite a few of them.
Yep.
And then there's quite a few ramp cards as well. Now, it looks like most of the ramp in this set is geared towards colorless creatures, colorless ramp.
Using the Eldrazi Scion to sack and do that. And there's a lot of Scion producers, such as the Call of Scions, which is literally just put two Scions into play that you can use for ramp later. Things like Blister Pod, which is a Tukaton Thalid, if you're used to that mechanic, where it's a 1-1 for one green. If it dies, you get a 1-1 Scion, in this case, Vice of Spirit or whatever, or a Thalid or, you know, whatever. But
DJ Thalid.
Yeah. I mean, obviously here you're looking for any Eldrazi rare or mythic. Like, they're all good. They're all payoff. Anybody can run them. But, like, if you have it and you're trying to get to it, you want to specifically run some ramp cards to try to get there.
Yeah.
Some things that help are like Herald of Kozlik, the 3-drop 1 blue and a red that makes colorless cost 2 less.
Yeah.
Like, there's another Eldrazi that tutors for one and makes the next colorless creature cost 2 less. Things like that also help. But the big one here to talk about is Bane of Balaged.
Yeah.
Gonna be the Bane of Limited.
Yeah, I think he's going to be the, just include in any deck, any archetype, just run this guy.
Pick one.
Potentially, yes.
Yeah,
so,
which is crazy.
To recap, 7 colorless is the casting cost. He's a 7/5. And when he attacks, your opponent exiles 2 of their permanents. Their choice, so it's not targeted. However, exiling is huge. And like, 2 attacks from this and your limited opponent's probably doing nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, he's a huge setback. He's definitely a huge, powerful creature. And at 7, I mean, that's limited all day. You're going to get to 7 probably almost every single game.
Yep.
So yeah, now he's looking very castable, very playable and limited. We could see him in other formats.
Plus, if you have any Scions to get him out. Like, imagine if you get him out early in the game because you had
even turn
some
5
sort
or
of
6.
Ramp.
There's the dorks are less, but there's the haste dork for creatures. And then also From Beyond is the enchantment that every upkeep makes a Scion to ramp you. Like, there's plenty of things to help ramp this out.
Yeah, there's a land if you happen to get to draft it that produces 2 for colorless. Like,
yeah. No, it's definitely easily doable as long with any of the Eldrazi, really.
Yeah. Yeah, no. So, it's really, I mean, what puts you into the ramp deck, do you think? Is it just having a lot of good playable Eldrazi? Enough to where you can't
really
just...
It's the ramp support cards. Do you have, like, the Call of the Scions, or do you have the Natural Connection, or any of the ones that... Because I think there's 2 or 3 in this set that are green that fetch out lanes.
Yeah.
To ramp you. I think that's where you look for that basis. Because you can run any of the Eldrazi in any deck.
Like, right, yeah.
You can just throw them in. It's, do you have the ramp spells themselves?
Yeah,
is what I think.
The other one, if you could ramp it out, I'd like to see next to the Bane of Belagalad or Balaged is they can't cast even.
Oh, Void Winnower.
Yeah, I mean, especially in a limited format, you're looking at what your spells are ramping to. You're not even looking at, oh, well, I have 14 even cards, you know, something like that. It's,
yeah, you can easily host people with that, and it's done.
And it's got a big body behind it, so how many times are they going to be able to not cast stuff with this big creature crashing in?
That's really just the big creature that's all that matters there, in my opinion. Like,
you're just done.
Yeah.
It's going to be a weird limited environment. Like,
yeah. And then also, kind of going with the Eldrazi ramp, talk about their abilities real quick of Devoid and Ingest.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So Devoid makes everything colorless. Not really too prevalent in this set. There's no pro color kind of things for a limited.
It's pretty much just that one removal spell, really. I mean, that's the only one I see.
Yeah, Titan's Presence.
Out,
And there's also the the red Eldrazi creature that shocks or well pings, taps for one, and if you play a colorless, it untaps.
Gotcha.
So that's relevant as well, I guess. And there are other abilities associated with them is ingest, where if they deal one damage, they exile the top card,
Yeah, so for most limited pools, the void's not really going to mean anything.
Ingest will be huge.
Yeah, it can be. In a 40-card deck, you could just hit their one answer and it's over.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's RNG.
Yeah,
like,
we...
Are you lucky? Are
and,
you not?
And we talk about the two sides of cards like that. You know, sometimes it helps pull them through a flood, which is very possible in the limited format. But on the other sense of... Well, if we play late game and you're essentially drawing, well, you're drawing one card and I'm making you exile another, like, the game's leaning my way in the end. You're going to run through cards faster than I do.
It also turns on all the cards that allow you to put cards from exile back into the graveyard to get an effect.
Yeah.
Things like Wasteland Strangler is probably my favorite. I have him listed in the utility cards to talk about later, but he's really good. Because he just, if you put something from exile back into the graveyard, target creature gets -3/-3. So it's one of the few interactive kill spells.
Yeah,
yeah.
In the format, so I think he's really good with the ingest kind of things going on.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, because we're going to have to watch how this plays out to see how much we see of that mechanic of putting things from exile back into the graveyard.
Right.
Because there's some really good effects attached to that. So I'm sure people are going to try it in standard. You're going to see it in limited. I mean, yeah, it'll be cool to see how much this he's played, because when I first started seeing cards with that, I just thought that was the hokiest, like...
Right. Like, this things is goofy. In exile should stay there and... The only thing that should abuse it is the food chain.
Yeah, but, that's the first thing I thought of was
but
food
that,
chain.
That's one card that, like, in one Legacy deck, like, cool, but...
I was wondering if they were going to try and do, like, a pseudo reprint of it with the way they were doing it, like, you know, put all this stuff
in the Mist Hollow Griffin or whatever.
I was like, oh, man, we're going to see something cool, and then it was like... You know, just fizzled out. I was like, no.
That kind of sums up the whole set.
Yeah. But, so the next one to talk about is Elementals.
Yeah, this one I hadn't seen too much of. I've been paying attention to. You want to talk about the mechanic first?
Sure. The mechanic is Converge, similar to Sunburst from back in the Mirrored Ends. But it's basically for every mana, different mana symbol you pay into it, you get more of an effect. Like, for example, Radiant Flames is 2 and a red Converge. And it deals 1 damage for each mana. So you can pay the red, and then 2 more, so you can deal 3 damage. So it's a potentially 2-color decks are Pyroclasm, 3 colors, it's closer to Anger, but without the exile.
Yeah.
So those kind of effects. There's a couple there with, like, Woodland Wanderer is the creature with Converge that's really good. The 2/2 Vigilance Trample comes into play with a counter for every for Converge, basically. And then, so it's a 3-color deck, 5/5, 4-color, 6/6. Just a big beater. I think it's the best Converge card, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's really the only one that stood out to me, and I've been trying to keep a good eye on that, playing red and green in that, and possibly looking into playing Temur coming up into Standard, trying to see what I can do to abuse it. But yeah, Woodland Wanderer, that's really the only one I think that would be really viable.
Radiant Flames.
Yeah, I like Radiant Flames. Yeah.
The other one I was watching was the Skyblade Elf. It's in the air. It has its own pseudo evasion because of that.
I mean, it's solid limited. Flyers are always good and limited.
Yeah,
and that one pays you off if you draw it late.
Because I mean, seeing from the set, there's not a lot that can deal with a flyer right now.
Right, other flyers, but
so.
And then kind of going in with the elementals is also the new Omnith, which says if he or another elemental is put in the graveyard, deal 3. So
that's the Raging Mana Locust.
Yes. Yeah. The he's
Raging Mana. I can't remember what the rest of his name is.
Right. Yeah. But he's also elemental. There are a lot of elemental creature types, but there's no lord for them, which I thought was interesting. Maybe in the next set there might be something. But because Undergrowth Champion is also an elemental, but he has landfall.
Mm.
So it kind of double dips into that. But he's also really good. He's the 2/2 for 3 that landfall gets a counter, and if he's dealt damage, prevent it and take a counter off.
Oh, okay.
That's solid.
He kind of fits both elemental and landfall and just a value creature on that one. But that kind of just leads us in straight into the landfall.
Yeah, I'd say a great segue there.
Yeah. Which, the mechanical landfall, as you all know, is when a land enters, it gets an effect. So fetch lands get you multiple in constructed, not so much as in limited.
Unless you get a Zendikar Expedition.
True.
Unless you're one guy. That one guy will live the dream.
But, the, I mean, the biggest card for this deck is the Slab Hammer, which is the 2-drop artifact. You can pay 2 to equip, and it says, return a land to your hand. Target equipped creature gets +2/+2.
Nice.
So it ensures a landfall.
Yeah, every, that's awesome.
Like every turn. Also pumps the creature it's attached to. Like that's the biggest for me. And there obviously all the ramp cards go get a land. Also work. There's an instant speed one, a natural connection to be aware of. It was a combat trick. It pulls out one land at instant speed for 3. Then you have your landfall creature, Scythe Leopard, as a 1/1 for 1 that gets landfall +1/+1. Snapping Gnarled, a 2/2 for 2 that gets landfall 1. Then you get into the bigger ones, like the Baloth gets +2/+2, but it costs more to cast, obviously.
Yeah.
The Grove Rumbler is a 3/3 trampler, gets +2/+2 for 4. Things like that. There's a 2/1 trampler for 2 that has +1/+1. So, like, if you throw the Slab Hammer on him, he gets really scary. Things like that. There's a First Striker in white, so you can even play Naya or whatever. But then also with that is all the retreats.
Yeah, the retreats look interesting. I like those a lot so far.
Yeah, they're just value in enchantments. So you can put them in pretty much every deck because you're always going to play land and they get value.
Right, yeah.
One card I like too is Swell of Growth for this as well. Yep. Instant speed pump spell, and you can play land. So pump it and trigger landfall.
Yeah.
It's
target creature gets +2/+2 and you can play land. So yeah, it gets potentially more, yeah. Or it also allows you to play the tap lands, which we can talk about in the value cards. That also add extra effects. The other one to talk about here, I think, is the Guardian of Tazim. It's a rare, so you're not always going to have it, and it's in blue. It's a flyer. It's the one that Frost Titans every time you play a land.
Ooh, nice.
Ooh.
So if you play a land, you tap target creature and does it untap. And yeah, like in Constructed, it's harder to do it instant speed to stop their blocker. Like you have to have one of these instant speed play lands. But looking into Constructed, you can leave back a fetch. When it goes to their turn, you can fetch, tap it on their turn so they don't get attacked with it and get a whole turn of it not blocking and things like that.
Yeah.
So that card seems like it has a lot of upside to me.
Yeah, no, I could see that being in Constructed decks, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, really, it's, again, it kind of comes to the same deal where you're really just looking for a critical mass of these cards if you want to play it. A lot of them are pretty good value regardless. So these are probably, of the all the archetypes we've looked at, this is the easiest one to kind of mix these creatures into other decks.
Right, because you're just going to play lands anyway.
Yeah, it's mostly just the instant speed cards that fetch lands up. And then, like you said, the Slab Hammer. I mean, that's a great enabler. So if you're running, like, what rarity is Slab Hammer?
Uncommon, I believe.
So if you find yourself with, like, 2-3 of those things, it might be worth it just to jam in a bunch of other landfall cards that otherwise you wouldn't play.
Yeah, especially if you're in draft. Like, you can just start taking all the hammers and then like, I'm going to get all these landfall creatures and go to town. Like, I think it'd be sweet to draft that.
That seems pretty viable, really looking at it. Because, I mean, what's your average split is 17, 13?
Sure, something like that.
Somewhere in there. Lands,
Yeah.
Or is it 23? 17, 23.
Yeah, 17 lands.
17 lands. You know, you go left or right based on what your curve goes to. But you're getting, I'm a big fan of cards like Landfall. I'm getting paid to do what I was going to do anyways.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and play a land. You're going to have pockets in Limited where you get a lot of land.
Yeah.
So, like, this Landfall mechanic's going to be big for the Limited format, I believe.
Yeah, and then also with, like, the hammer, you can bounce the tap lanes, which we can talk about next. And then also, you can re-trigger retreats because, like, you can I'm going to play bounce this land, replay it, get all my retreats going on or
and,
how many have.
And you know I'm a fan of enchantments because I'm always like, look at this enchantment. And you're like, oh, that's dumb. And I'm like, but it just sits there and does stuff. I don't even have to do anything.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I like with the slab, though, is, I mean, that really enables it. That's the card where you start playing, like, you know, some of the lesser landfall cards that you wouldn't normally run.
Right.
Yeah. Because if you can ensure that you get these triggers every turn, that's pretty brutal. Yeah. And it also kind of works as a pseudo ramp because you can do that during your main phase too, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so you can just bounce, you tap a land for mana, bounce it, replay it for your land that turn, and then tap it. I mean, assuming, you know, you're not drawing lands or things like that. So, I mean, that Slab Hammer gives you a lot of play. And then you also get, obviously, the +2/+2 on the creature already, and then you replay the land and get whatever the landfall. I mean, you get a lot of value out of that.
Right.
So that's where you get into territory of running some of the lesser cards. And then otherwise, you're just looking for the all-stars from it, the really good ones to play in whatever deck you're playing anyway.
Yep. So I think that covers Landfall for the most part. We can kind of segue into the value cards here.
Yep.
That just any deck can play. And we can start with the tap lands I was referring to with the hammer. Things like Sandstone Bridge, where it comes into play tapped. It's taps for white. But when it comes in, target creature gets +1/+1 gains vigilance.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, so
I forgot about these lands.
Yeah, so you can bounce them with the hammer and re-get triggers with them, things like that.
The swamp one is sweet. That's return target creature from the graveyard to your hand.
Top of library, but yeah.
To the top of your library.
Yep. The blue one, Skyland Cascade, is Frost Titan effect, tap target creature, doesn't untapped. The red one is +1/+1 at first strike. The green one, probably one of my least favorites, but let's look at the top five of your library. If you do reveal a basic land from among them, put that card on top and the rest at the bottom in any order.
Yeah, that one's pretty lackluster. Yeah. But you know, the rest of them are pretty solid. And, you know, again, like we were saying, if you can keep recurring this, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, yeah. Even just once and a retreat is just so much value, from a land that... But other value cards, obviously Ruinous Path. If you have it, you're going to run it because you always run removal where you can get it. Yeah, it's Sorcery Speed, not Hero's Downfall, but whatever.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, yeah. Rolling Thunder is another big one in there. The X, red, red, deal X to any number of creatures or players as you see fit.
And that one's actually worded and / or, right? So you can do one or both. One, the other, or both.
Well, you can hit, if you do it for four, you can ping 3 1/1s and one to the player. Yeah. Or however you see fit.
But I like how they worded that.
Right, right, right.
They were very meticulous on that wording.
Yeah. But that's one you're going to play if you're in red.
Yeah.
Just to push through damage and things like that. Stasis Snare, obviously another really good removal that you're just going to play if you're in white.
Yeah. I like that one a lot.
The big one I like is Coral Home Guide. It's the give target creature unblockable in this set. Unblockable is nice to push through damage. things like that. It's a creature. It's not a big body, but giving unblockable is always good. Hedron Archive is the artifact that taps
the banishing light for the big guys.
No. Oh. That's Hedron Archive is the it's an uncommon, so you're more likely to get it. It taps for 2 colorless, or you can pay 2 and sack it and draw 2.
Oh, right, right. Okay, yeah, I like that one a lot.
Yeah, so it's ramp and a ramp deck, or it's card draw late, or just
both.
Yeah, yeah. It's just
little A, little B.
Yep, just a good utility card.
Block, sack, draw 2,
Oh, no, it's just an artifact. It's not a creature.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. I was thinking the other one.
No, yeah, it's just straight artifact on that one. And then, obviously, if you get an Expedition Land, good job.
Proud of you.
You just scoop and go home, because no matter what, no one's having as good of a day as you.
Right.
No, you get to play with that huge grin on your face all day.
Yep.
You just throw matches and not even care.
Right.
You salt the whole room up. It'll be a good old time.
Just
and you can play those cards. They announced you can play them. So you can play a Steam Vent. And
that's the one you run Sylvan Scrying. So you just always get it and rub it in your opponent's face.
Yeah.
I don't even need these colors, but I'm going to go get it because here it is.
Yeah. If I get any of them, I'm playing them off color. I don't even care. They're going
I'll sleeve up in top loaders just for that one card. Oh. I'll shuffle up a stack of top loaders to protect the one.
That's hard to do.
You've tried. I mean, I'm a fan of the penny sleeve limited.
Yes, I remember you doing that.
You should do that with the Expedition lands and just watch your opponent. Not salty because you got it, but on top of it, you're playing with it in penny sleeves.
Do the most just destructive riffle shuffle.
No, I'm never going to do that.
Yeah, no, you can't just throw money away like
that.
Yeah. But yeah, and I mean, you know, and of course, on top of these, any of the planeswalkers, if they're in your color, don't fall for the new player trap and play a color you shouldn't be because you have a planeswalker in that color.
I mean, sometimes limited, you can get away with it. I'm just saying.
Sometimes. But if your pool is a hot garbage in that color, aside from that walker, be careful.
Yeah, especially if it's Obnixless, you're getting the double cost. It's a little bit easier because it's one mana symbol of a different color. But yeah, the doubles get rough.
But don't fall for the traps.
Right.
Lay your cards out and take your time. But yeah, I mean, so other than these mechanics, though, so like we said, there's cards in all these lists where they're just good no matter what deck you're playing. And then there are others that are good supporting casts for the mechanics. These are just ones to look out for. Obviously, Limited's a great place because it's not a draft. So you have time to kind of, you know, split your cards up, look at them, look at your different opportunities, and see which one looks the best, see which ones you have the most cards for.
Yeah, you can definitely sort out, I already sort my colors anyway, but now I can sort, too, on, here's all my allies.
Yeah. Yeah, so you can take a look and see what you have available to you. But, yeah, I mean, other than that, just enjoy the pre-release. Hopefully a lot of people will be cracking these Expedition lands. I'm kind of hoping someone at the shop we go to does, because I'm sure that'll be exciting.
Right.
But, all right, we're going to hop out of this segment. We'll be back in just a minute to talk about a possible new Modern deck. All right, welcome back, everybody. So, with the spoilers and the card Retreat to Coral Helm, it has surged a lot of conversations about a new combo in Modern. Who wants to describe the combo?
So, basically, it takes Knight of the Reliquary, a card I'm very familiar with from Maverick and things like that. Knight of the Reliquary is a 2-2 for 3 for one green and a white that has the ability of tap, sacrifice to forest or plains, search your library for land, put it into play. Also, it's powered toughness. It gets a +1/+1 for every land in your graveyard. The way the combo works is you have Retreat of Coral Helm in play, which is an enchantment for 2 and a blue that has landfall, tap or untap target creature. So you activate Knight, sack a plains or a forest, go get a land, trigger landfall, untap Knight, rinse, repeat. Right. The way it can kill by itself is for every fetch land you get an extra activation of Coral Helm. Because like when you play a fetch land, you're going to untap the Knight, fetch with the fetch land, get another activation, so you tap one of their creatures. So now they're not going to have a blocker, you make Knight a 20-20 or whatever and kill them. Just simply with that.
Right. So this is the combo that's popped up. It's been on multiple threads, multiple sites online. It's not really a secret anymore. But so Alex and Jerry have been looking at this combo and looking at what decks this would fit in, what new decks this might lead to, what decks this makes better, things like that. And we've come up with 4 lists that we're going to kind of go over today. The first is a Collected Company combo list. And this isn't, I mean, it's not far off the beaten path. This is pretty much already a deck as it stands. You're just jamming this combo into it. We're going to post all these lists so you can take a look at that if you're interested in. But I think that's one that's popping up on a lot of sites, right? It's not really.
That's the one people go to because it's stable. Yeah. I mean, Coco's already good. It's value in Modern. You're going to put a bunch of creatures in play for relatively cheap, and you just tap and have a combo finish now, too, to make things faster.
Yeah, so it's the first logical step. It makes sense for it to be there. But so we're not going to go over this one too much. So do you guys want to go into Kiki Chord then?
Yes.
All right, so this is a deck that Alex has been running in Modern for a while, so I'll let him take over here. How does this combo fit into this deck?
Well, before in Kiki Chord, there was a Black Splash for Sin Collector and Fulminator Mage main, and then Orzhov Pontiff and random things in this side. So we just take out the Black Splash and put it in a Blue Splash. So really the only thing that changes in the main is we added in the Knight of Reliquaries, which we can Chord for, making it nice. We add a couple of Noble Hierarchs for extra mana, more blue mana, and Exalted Triggers to help just be an aggressive deck if we can't start chaining off into, you know, the Coco into Ewit, into Resto, into Kiki, and so on and so forth. Also, the Retreat is just good in the deck to scry, set up your draws, because you don't have much card advantage in the deck itself, so you can help set up things that way. And then it also allows you to splash extra blue in the sideboard for things like Is It Static Caster, which is good for Lingering Souls. And then once again, with Retreat to Coral Helm, you get to untap Is It Static Caster, potentially with a land, to get multiple activations in the same turn to potentially kill a 2-2, a 3-3, and if you have Knight, so on and so forth. Also get Karanos in the sideboard as a Chordable target in like grindier matchups where you're just like Chord for Karanos, I'm probably gonna win.
Right. Yeah.
So it takes an already good value deck and just adds more value to it. It adds another combo. So now you have 2 combos. One, the Knight Coral Helm combo, which you can potentially turn 3 through 5. And now you still have the Resto Kiki, which is turns 4 through 6. So it gets you a faster combo that you can Chord for and things like that.
Yeah, and it slots in pretty much on curve right there. So with two chords in hand, you could go for one fails, you go for the other. I mean, it definitely gives you another angle of attack.
It allows you to also run some utility lands in the form of Tsurugi Step, which when it comes into play, target creature gets protection from a color.
Yeah.
So it allows you to protect your Kiki combo as well, because you have a Knight in play and you go for the Kiki combo. And they're trying to bolt or path in response. You just activate Knight, go get the step, pro whatever, the Resto or the Kiki, and call it a day.
Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, it's really like, I definitely think this is the next step. I think that mm-hmm. Kiki Chord's been, it's been getting a lot of popularity lately. And this definitely might be something that takes it to, you know, that sacred tier one territory.
Right.
But, you know, time will tell with that. And I like the splash of blue in this deck because it looks like, I mean, you went pretty light on the blue splash and it makes sense, but there may be room to go a little bit deeper with that as well.
Right.
So it gives you some versatility.
I've already been thinking things like Vincer, because he flashes in and to bounce a spell.
Yeah.
And then you can also resto it to do it again. Or Glen Halledra, which has sack and persist to counter, to negate, and then you can resto that. Yeah, like okay. Other things that work well with resto that I could just go further into.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it definitely expands what you can do with this deck. It adds a neat new combo to it. Yeah, no, I like this list a lot. It looks really fleshed out so far. So we'll definitely have to see how this one does moving forward. Did you want to talk any more on this one, or you want to move to the next one?
I think that one's pretty straightforward. Let's get into the two that are innovative.
Yeah, so we're going a little deeper with these next two.
Yeah. I'll let Jerry take over here and talk about Mythic Conscription.
All right, guys. So a little history lesson for you on Mythic Conscription. This is based on an old standard deck back in the Shards of Alara and Zendikar blocks. What had happened was, in the creation of this deck, it was a running joke originally, where people would play Sovereigns of Lost Alara and haha, attack with a creature. Now, Sovereigns of Lost Alara is a 6-mana creature, 4 colorless, a white and a blue, with Exalted, and an ability that whenever a creature attacks by itself, search your library for an enchantment aura and attach it to said attacking creature. So people would be grabbing Eldrazi Conscription. Well, in that format, Baneslayer Angel was top dog, and everyone was gunning to kill the Baneslayers. And you also had Jace the Mind Sculptor, which was getting that. So Sovereigns would stick around, and you would end up getting free Eldrazi Conscriptions on your Knight of the Reliquaries or your Lotus Cobras. Now, the design of the deck is based on 16 full mana dorks with approximately 26 to 27 lands, give or take, 12 of them being fetch lands. So you're running an extreme amount of mana in the perfect hand of turn 1 Noble Hierarch, turn 2 Lotus Cobra, fetch land into Knight of the Reliquary. On turn 3 with 1 fetch land, you can generate up to 9 mana. And with this 9 mana, you can cast another knight, you can cast your Eldrazi Conscription if it's in your hand, which is not the worst thing in the world. And you can also cast Sovereigns of Lost Alara with, you know, the other two creatures in the deck that are put in now, Thalia, Guardian of Thraben, and Vryn Wingmare, both of which give the deck a prison-like feel to where you can't interact with me. And that's the goal of the deck, is to create, you know, no interaction with you, go off on your combo, do your own thing.
Just real quick, people might not be familiar, what does Eldrazi Conscription read?
Eldrazi Conscription is a 8-mana tribal enchantment aura. It's a colorless. Enchanted creature gets +10/+10, trample, and annihilator 2.
So pretty devastating.
Right. So basically what you're trying to... And you also threw in the retreat combo as well, correct?
Yes, the retreat combo is in the deck. It is a direct replacement of Jace the Mind Sculptor. Right. Instead of being able to do a grindier game, you can still grind, but you have an immediate combo out. Another angle of attack that this deck really needed in order for it to shine in the modern format.
Right. So with Lotus Cobra, potentially turn 3 with retreat and knight, correct?
Yes.
And then also, how fast can you slam out the Sovereign?
Sovereign of Lost Lara can be hit on turn 3 as well, very quickly.
Yeah, which is pretty much, I think, the gold standard for modern. Is you want to... Because right now, the like twin combos on turn 4. So that's kind of what you're trying to beat. You want to combo faster than twin. So this can do that.
Yes, and not only that, if you don't even hit your combo... You are a very decent aggro deck with multiple different, you have a couple first strike dudes in your Thalias, and on top of that, you have your own exalted triggers to push through more and more damage.
Right, just even Noble Thalia is pretty hard to deal with.
And in the sideboard, to note, it goes into a much harder to deal with board in a sort of a big hexproof deal with your 3 Geist of St. Traffs and your 3 Thrun the Last Trolls.
Ooh, yeah, that's nice.
At this point, you're just, can you deal with me, bro?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, what do you got to stop these? Yeah. So, Vryn Wingmare, is that Pony Thalia?
Yes. Okay. Not legendary. You can stack them. It's just another way to hold off removal.
And they both make, is it non-creature or is it instant or sorcery?
They are both on the non-creature spells cost 1 more path.
Yeah. So, I mean, I like this a lot. It sets back Twin a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Makes Splinter Twin a little, you know, harder to play.
Even it sets back Kill. Like,
well, yeah, yeah. I mean, Terminate
costs three.
Right.
And especially, like, if you hit them with Eldrazi Conscription Creature Annihilator 2, more than likely they're going to have to sacrifice a land. And if you have a Thalia, now they just may not cast anything the rest of the game and be completely locked out.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, you know, we were talking about gold standards, and I think that not only being able to combo faster than Twin, but to have at least that little bit of interaction that costs you pretty much nothing in this deck is real nice.
Right.
Because, I mean, yeah, obviously Kill is the thing you're looking for there. But, I mean, even things like Cantrips, Serum Visions to try to find a way out of it, I mean, that all just sets you back a lot more. So you're playing a fast deck where you're also slowing down your opponent at the same time. So I really like the look of this build.
And then also with that, you still get a couple utility lands, which Knight allows for, because you can just Knight for utilities. You get the step again, and also Rogue's Passage is added in this one.
Yeah, Rogue's Passage is nice. I like that a lot in this list.
Yeah, you're going to make a bunch of mana. Just, oh, this thing's unblockable now, so, you know, it doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to full-on Coral Helm you. I can still just win with a Conscription and a Rogue's Passage.
And to give you all an idea of what its matchups are like, currently, as of the current build, it can deal with the Splinter Twin decks. It can deal with many control decks. You'll be happy to know if you don't like Infect, Thalia and Vryn Wingmare really shut Infect down, keeps it on the down low.
Yeah, I can see that.
The matchups it does have trouble with are your Abzan and Jund matchups can be troublesome with their turn one Inquisitions and Thought Seizes. That is something to keep in mind.
So would you consider something like Leyline of Sanctity in the sideboard? You are in white, so you could cast it, worst case scenario, but...
Yes, Leyline is a consideration in the sideboard. If you really do feel that you're going into a field of, you know, going into like an IQ and you see a ton of fair decks, switching up the sideboard to not only to the hexproof dudes, but into Leylines and copies of God's Willing or Brave the Elements isn't unheard of.
Just more protection, yeah. Or even like Apostle's Blessing or whatever. Whatever your choice of poison is there, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll make a quick note there. All of these lists are very fresh. So if you're looking at these lists on the site, please be aware of that. I mean, these are not tuned lists by any means yet.
They're
great starting points, yeah. Right. I mean, they are very fleshed out for considering like that we haven't play tested with these yet, but... You know, and they've been come up with by two players who are very familiar with the modern format, so they're not going to have big holes in them. They're not going to be weak to certain things, but you know,
I try to mitigate that.
Yeah.
Try to make it as good as you can. You're not going to be able to beat everything in the modern format, but you got to do what you can.
Right.
Yeah. So both of these, I mean, are all the three lists that we've looked at so far. I like a lot. I mean, it's going to be crazy to see how much this hierarchy combo pops up, because modern is a format where there's a lot of talk about this already, but for every person talking about it online, there's what, 10, 20 that just haven't even realized this yet.
Right. And then on top of it, they may not realize that it just wins. Because like they're like, oh, you chain off every land in your deck. How do you win? Well, every fetch land I hit taps one of your creatures. Right. And I'm gonna push damage through. Or there's also, you can run the Hedron Crab if you're looking to do that, the one that mills three on a landfall, and you can just chain that off. Like, I think that'll be more relevant as like maybe a sideboard for like Ensnaring Bridge. If Lantern Control is being played more and more, they have Ensnaring Bridge, you can't attack. Oh, well, I'm just going to Hedron Crab, you can call it a day.
And if you want to go even more crazy or super unique with it, you can do some combination of Step Links, Plated Geopede, and Scape Shifts to just supercharge your deck.
Yeah. Like that could even go into a different version of Coco that might flesh out later.
Yeah.
But
yeah, and I think so far we're seeing a lot of play too. I mean, there's a lot of options with the Knight. Him being able to tap at instant speed is awesome.
Yep.
I mean, I like the idea of being able to, like, I mean, in response to a Splinter Twin, you can tap the creature it's being attached to.
Well, if you have a tap lane. Or, well, no, Core Retreat. Retreat, correct, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's cool that even weird little interactions like that, it gives you more room to fight things like that. I mean, there's probably tons of lines of play in this list that we haven't even seen yet.
And, like, and we're focusing strictly on the tap, untap with Retreat, but if you have Retreat and nothing else... The other mode is Scry one when you play a land, so you can start digging for things. It fixes draw steps. You know, it's card advantage a little bit. It's
versatile is the big thing.
Right.
It gives you choices, which a lot of people said were big proponents of, because with those choices, you can make the right choice.
Right, right.
Or you can make the wrong choice.
Or even just tapping down their creature so they can't attack to buy you a turn is relevant to you, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we talked about, like, Abzan, any of the, you know, Liliana hand disruption-based decks, like, they rip your hand apart, and now you start playing, you know, a fetch land, you get to scry. You can, if you don't like what you see, you can fetch, scry again. I mean, it gives you some ways to try to rebuild a little bit after that. And
yep.
Yeah, no, I definitely think this deck has a lot of play. I like it a lot. I really do like that the Eldrazi conscription, like, you know, yeah, you want to fetch it out and attach it on the swing with the Sovereigns, but you can also cast it. Like, you can generate a lot of mana. And I'm a big fan of decks that, like, you don't just have this piece in there for just the combo. Like,
right. And if you, things that are like, if you draw it, you, like, you can't cast it. Like,
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, blue white with the Tron deck with the black returner creature. Yeah. It's just pieces, having combo pieces in there that if you draw them naturally, you can't cast them as a downside. I'm really glad to see that that's not the case with this list at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I like this build a lot. This is really cool. Do you guys want to say anything else on this one, or you want to check out the next one?
Let's get on to the next one. This is the one that I enjoy.
This is the heavy hitter.
Yeah.
All right, so next we're looking at an Enchantress deck. So before we even talk about this list, just give us a quick rundown of what an Enchantress deck is.
So Enchantress deck, there is one that already existed in Modern, not as good. It's more played in Legacy, but it's based around Viridian Enchantress, which is a 3-drop, 1 green-green. It's an 0/2. That has, whenever you play an enchantment, draw a card. We got a pseudo reprint of it in Theros in the form of Ilana Blossoms, which itself was an enchantment.
I'm a big fan of it.
Yeah, and then, yeah, you top aided with Green Black Constellation. So yep,
it's a good card. Checks out.
So then you also draw a card there, but it costs 4 mana for a 2/2. So one more mana, but that's fine. But that's like the basis of the Enchantress deck, is playing the Enchantress herself and versions of it. And then a bunch of enchants to chain off card advantage and keep drawing different win cons based on the format. The Modern one was originally an Immercool deck. It would just play a bunch of Utopia Sprawls, Fertile Ground, Overgrowth, which I'll get further into those. Make a bunch of mana using Nykthos, things like that, and then just cast Immercool. It would draw the Immercool with all these enchantment triggers and then cast Immercool. That was its only line of...
Like, that was its path to victory.
Right,
that's what it did. Yeah.
Now it gets to add Knight and Retreat to Core Realm. Like, imagine that theme.
Jam them on in there.
Yeah. So now the creature base is 4 Arbor Elf, which is a 1-drop that taps and untaps target forest. So it's a dork that specifically untaps a land for 1. Then the 4 Viridian Enchantress, 4 Island Blossoms, 2 Nither Reliquary, and 1 Emrakul. Because you can still just cast Emrakul. But then you also have the Knight combo. Then we get into the enchantment suite, which there is a lot. So we still run the 4 Utopia Sprawls, which is 1 green for an enchantment, enchant target land. Whenever you tap the land for mana, it adds 1 of any color. So okay. It's color fixing and ramp, because it adds an extra one.
Nice.
Then you get into 4 Fertile Grounds, which is 1 green for an enchantment that has the same effect. Whenever it's tapped, it adds another of any color. And 2 Overgrowths, which are 2 and a green, and whenever that land is tapped, it adds green-green. So you can Voltron essentially a forest with 3 enchantments on it.
Whenever Arbor Elf it.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to tap for like 6 mana, Arbor Elf it. Now you have a Retreat of Core Realm, so you can play a land, untap the Arbor Elf, do it again. You have all the mana in the world. Every time you play an enchantment, you draw a card, so you can just chain off the deck. So then going into the enchantments that it uses for how to kind of win too, you have the 3 Retreat to Coral Humps. You get into Ghostly Prison, which is 2 and a white. Your opponent has to pay 2 for every creature that attacks you. So it builds this prison where you can't attack me. Because it also runs 2 Sphere of Safety, which is 4 and a white. And your opponent has to pay X to attack for each creature with X as the number of enchantments you have.
Which would be a lot in this deck, I imagine.
Exactly. So, like, you kind of build up this pillow fort, prison, whatever you want to call it, where they can't attack in. You get free reign to do whatever you want. You're going to find Knight combo, or you're going to find an Emrakul. And also, for more utility, you have a couple of Detention Spheres to just answer what you need to, and Snaring Bridges and things like that, so you can still attack. A Sigil of the Empty Throne to make a bunch of 4/4s. Privileged Position, giving all your enchantments hexproof, so they can't even deal with them. And then another new card... Quarantine Field, which is the XX white comes in with X counters on it, and remove a counter, exile target, non-name permanent, and it's an enchantment. Turns out you can make a lot of mana. You can easily throw this down for 4 or 5 counters and just wipe their board and attack with a knight.
Seems pretty solid.
Yeah. And then also you have your utility lands again in the form of like Nykthos in this one. So you can knight for a Nykthos because all your enchantments on your land are also green mana costs. Like you just make a bunch of mana. Yeah, I'm actually excited to see if this deck can come back in Modern.
Yeah, I'll be honest. The more and more I look at this list, the more I'm like, all right, I have this. I need to order this. Like,
right. Was it the Detention Spheres that caught your eye?
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. Hey, Alex, could you jam a Supreme Verdict in this deck? How would that?
I don't know if you'd want to do that, but maybe in the sideboard.
But yeah, no, I mean, I definitely think that, I mean, man, this list looks really sweet. Since I've seen a list where I'm like, man, this is just, I guess because I wasn't familiar with Enchantress at all
before. Well, it was, and you were just trying to cast Emrakul.
Yeah.
So, like, it was one of those weird things where, like, if you don't have enough ramp, you can't live and you don't draw another one, things like that. But, like, Retreat and Arbor Elf, like, Retreat with the Arbor Elf adds a whole nother insurance of ramp. When you're making all this mana, you're playing all these enchantments, you're just chaining through the deck, you're going to draw it. I forgot about the Miser's Crucifix Insight, which is 2 and a green. Look at 6, put 3 enchantments in your hand and bend the other 3.
Oof,
nice. But even then, if you get the Emrakul in there, it shuffles in, so you get those back in. Like,
and see, like, I'm a huge enchantment guy. I have a Boggles deck. I like cards that can come out onto the field. They can do their thing.
Yeah.
And it's hard for your opponent to deal with them because they're so used to kill. Well, you can't just kill an enchantment. You have to have a specific card. And looking at this, because I also looked at the Xur deck.
Right, is there the
which was cool. It attacks, he gets to go get enchantment. But this seems like it's doing more in the long run.
Yeah, you have built-in card advantage. Also, it's surprising how many decks Ghostly Prison just beats.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, I'm like sitting here, that's the one I'm looking at, and I'm running through my head like, man, well, if you get a Ghostly Prison out, I'm like, what, it's a 3-drop, right?
Yeah, you can turn
two. Yep. I mean, Twin can't combo. Well, I mean, they can combo, but good luck.
Any card that Stonewalls Twin is... good.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. No, you have a great card for the meta already.
No, I mean, it punishes every aggro deck, Affinity, Infect, Twin, you know, Tron, like, to an extent. They're a little bit better off because they have Karn and Ugin and things. But, like, even then, like, if you're trying to attack with the creature, you're not gonna.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, there's a lot of decks where, yeah, that's a huge problem for them. I mean, even, like, yeah, like you said, like, aggro and burn, like...
Yep.
Now you're either swinging with your Goblin Guide or you're casting burn spells. I mean, that could easily buy you 2 or 3 more turns. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, and then too, the sideboard will obviously have Leyline of Sanctity for burn. And also it can run Herald of the Pantheon from Origins because you can gain life for every enchantment as a way to start gaining life back. And it makes things cheaper too in the sideboard. Like, if you need to get faster, like, you just bring that in. And like, yeah, I think it has a lot of game where it didn't have before. And then also because you are switching to Bant, Vice, Green, White, they're running O-Ring, but now that you're in blue, you get, which is just strictly better.
Yeah, you get to upgrade a little there.
Yep.
Maybe they play 2 Goblin Guides, you get to get them both.
Woo! Well, then also Quarantine Fuel can clean up a lot, too.
Yep.
Because you're just going to make a bunch of mana and just, yep.
Now, something really cool with the deck, it's an important interaction to really think about, and it really is a skill tester on how you play your fetch lands in it, is when you have the draw trigger on the stack from any enchantress on the battlefield, if you break a fetch in response, you can dictate what that card is you're going to draw via a scry 1.
Yep.
So this helps you a lot when you go on and chain off.
Yep.
So this deck right here uses the scry 1 ability on the enchantment itself. Much better.
You get a lot more out of it. Yeah.
For lack of a better word.
Yeah, like the obvious one is Arbor Elf and Knight, obviously just going to town. But yeah, the scry is very relevant and a lot of people won't see that line right away, which I'm glad you brought it up on that one, Jerry.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's a spicy list. I like Detention Sphere as a catch-all and it's amazing in this deck because it plays right into the enchantment theme. I mean, yeah, this is sweet.
Good job. Thanks. Like, it was by far my favorite. Like, and I run Kiki Court, and I'm like, oh, this fits in here perfectly. Like, I'm going to run this. But this list is like, oh, man, this is hot.
Yep. So I think, we're starting to get towards the end of this segment here. We've gone over all 4 of these lists. Like I said, we're going to get all these up on the site. Do you guys have any last words, any last thoughts on any of these lists?
Not so much on the lists themselves, but the entire retreat cycle from the new set. Keep an eye on those cards. They do a lot of things. The landfall mechanic isn't, you know, the landfall mechanic isn't a very fair mechanic, in my opinion.
True statement.
Some people will think it is, but cards like Scapeshift exist for a reason. Right. So keep those in mind.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's definitely, I mean, Modern is a happy, happy place for landfall with fetch land. I mean, now Standard has it too, but I think if you get any of these retreats and they're at a cheap price, they're probably worth storing away somewhere.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these could pop up down the line and other things. I'm sure we're going to see more doors open as we go forward with this set in Modern. But yeah, no, these lists look awesome. These are all definitely great starting places for anyone who's getting into Modern, anyone who's curious about Modern, you know, sleeve up some proxies and try some of these out.
Right.
But all right, so we're going to go and wrap up then. Anyone who's from MTGcast, please check out our site over at www.thesnapcast.com. We're always looking for feedback. Anything, things you like, things you'd love to hear more of. We always like to hear it. They definitely help us craft and shape the show to what people want to listen to, because, I mean, at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. But all right, guys, that's going to do it for us this week. Have a good week.
Oh, snap.